We are live, and we are in the Quicken Loans studios in Southern California. Quicken Loans supplies simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Into hour number three. All right, 1-800-636-8686. Use that phone number. We will have time for telephone calls later on in the hour. We are efforting our next guest, John Morosi. So you can call me, you can hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome. You can email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Strange, strange first half of the program. Many of you think that an impromptu Rome-ageddon broke out. That's not what happened. Hey, if you want to think that, you go right ahead. If that was good for you, go ahead and run with it. Just know that's never, ever going to happen ever again. It was a weird, weird day where all these things kind of aligned at the same time in the worst way imaginable. So judging from what happened at TweetDeck, I can tell y'all had a good time with it. If you missed it and you want to chase it, check out our Daily Jungle. We have that every single day. Then we have the Jim Rome podcast, the second of our podcasts, which airs once a week, normally on a Tuesday, but it didn't drop Tuesday because we're holding out for our guest, Draymond Green. And that'll probably happen on Friday. I will keep you posted with regards to that. NFL rule changes. Why don't we start with that for a minute as I'm efforting my guest? The 2018 owners meetings have already had a few highlights. You know, there was that annual head coaches group photo, which is always a classic. That's where the head coaches get together, minus a few guys like the hoodie, and then they take one of the most awkward pictures you're ever going to see. Awkward. But then after the photo sessions, it's time to get down to business. And that business has included voting on new rules, starting with the new catch rule, which was passed 32-0. The catch rule has been sliced and diced for years, and I got into it last week, so I don't need to rehash or reset that entire thing. But sufficient is to say, if it makes things more clear and easy to understand, then I'll be utterly shocked. And once again, I'm not a dude who goes off on a problem without proposing a solution. If a player catches the ball, it's a catch, period. That's what the rule should be. You don't need anything more than that. If you do and you need some further assistance, you know where to find me. The real surprise, though, was the announcement of a playing rule Article 8. What is playing rule Article 8, you wonder? According to NFL spokesman Brian McCarthy on Twitter, and I quote, playing rule Article 8, it is a foul if a player lowers his head to initiate and make contact with his helmet against an opponent. The player may be disqualified. Applies to any player anywhere on the field. The player may be disqualified. End quote. Hello. Looks like we have ourselves a new targeting rule in the NFL. And apparently it's a pretty big freaking deal. I'll finish that thought in a few moments. But as promised, we are joined by somebody who works for MLB Network. NHL Network, Fox Sports. He is an avid fan of the classic PBS show, Ghost Rider. John Morosi is my guest. John, great to have you back. How are you?
Jim, I'm doing outstanding, my friend. Happy opening day. Happy Final Four week. And yes, Ghost Rider came up yesterday in a conversation I was having, and I just went with it, mentioned it on Twitter. And Samuel L. Jackson played Jamal's father. Who knew?
Who knew? All right, so for those who don't remember it, exactly what was Ghost Rider and why is it so special to you?
Well, Jim, it's a challenge to explain it. The premise, though, is there was a group of kids in Brooklyn, probably like seven or eight kids, teenagers, middle school age, and they were able to communicate with this friendly ghost who helped them read and make sense of complex ideas. And it was a great show on PBS that, for me, growing up in my home, Jim, we were limited to an hour of TV a day. So I basically had to watch, I got a half hour of ESPN, and then a half hour of PBS. That was the mandate, was no more than a half hour of non-PBS TV. So it was basically a half hour of ESPN, and then Ghostwriter, Square One, or whatever awesome weekday programming we had back in the day.
Yeah, and look at you now. Your folks knew exactly what they were doing. You work for the MLB Network, the NHL Network, Fox Sports as well. All right, John, opening day is tomorrow. You are always one of the more upbeat, more energetic guys around. So how are you feeling right about now with the first pitches of 2018 coming in less than 24 hours?
I'm ecstatic, Jim, and ecstatic because of a couple things. Number one, I think back to last year and the great image of the top two finishers in the AL MVP vote, Aaron Judge, who looks like he was born to play sports, and then Jose Altuve, who's 5'6", who's shorter than me, and it was a great picture of these two amazing people shaking hands at second base and celebrating the amazing diversity in our game. I just love that. I love that about the way they both represent our games. The game's in great hands. We've got great stars. The other part is urgency. We've got the Yankees who have come in, and they have added Stanton to join with Judge. They've got a lineup for the ages. Urgency now in the Bronx to really have this rebuild come to fruition. But the Red Sox, they had J.D. Martinez, so you got a very competitive American League East. And then, Jim, I think my personal favorite storyline, the National League. You've got urgency with Clayton Kershaw, the final year of his contract before he can opt out of his deal with the Dodgers, and Bryce Harper, last year of his contract. So no matter what happens, one of those two teams is going to be entering an offseason in which their star player may be leaving without them winning the World Series. So there's a lot on the line for the Nationals, the Dodgers, and certainly the American League for the Yankees and Red Sox. And, oh, by the way, the defending World Series champion Astros trying to become the first repeat champion we've had in baseball since the year 2000 with the Yankees.
And they might be better. John Morosi joining us. Now, John, also in addition to all of that, and you covered a lot of real estate right there, you tweeted earlier today, Yadier Molina will be making his 14th straight opening day start, which breaks the franchise record for most consecutive opening day starts at the same position. Anytime you break a record like that, it's significant. What's it say, though, when you break that record as a catcher?
Jim, I'm really glad you asked, because Yadier Molina, we sometimes focus so much on what's new, what's different, what's exciting, and we forget to appreciate what is constant, what is enduring. And Yadier Molina, in my opinion, a Hall of Famer, is enduring. You mentioned the number there and the fact he's breaking Lou Brock's franchise record. How about this? With 14 straight starts at catcher, he is now going to be one off the all-time record for consecutive opening day starts by one catcher for one franchise. He'll be at 14. The all-time record is 15. Remarkable. Also, you think about Yadier Molina. I love this note as well, Jim, about him. The last opening day catcher the Cardinals had, other than Yadier Molina, is his current manager,
right,
Mike Matheny, in 2004. So Yadier has been behind the plate every single year since 2005. Again, one behind Ray Schalk's record with the White Sox, which was 15 straight.
John Morosi joining us. That's an amazing number. Listen, you mentioned the Yankees and their lineup. That's been the talk of the entire offseason. But, John, they start without first baseman Greg Bird for 6 to 8 weeks. How concerning is that loss?
It is concerning because the Yankees, and it's a great point, Jim, because the as much experience and star power as they've got with Judge and Stanton, and of course, CC or Sabathia in the rotation, D.D. Gregorius, as good as he's been in the cleanup spot, the back half of that lineup is in some cases, unproven. And it's going to be Tyler Wade getting a lot of repetitions there at second base for them. And at first base, as you mentioned, the absence of Bird means that Neil Walker probably slides over and gets a lot of at-bats at first base. So it's going to press some people into more prominent roles that maybe the Yankees weren't expecting. All that being said, Jim, while I am concerned about Greg Bird, if I am a Yankee fan who is somewhat nervous about the hype, the biggest thing I'm keeping in mind is the rotation. And CC Sabathia getting up there in years, great pitcher, great guy, but he's getting up there in years. Masahiro Tanaka's been pitching with that partially torn UCL for a long time. Jordan Montgomery now just coming into his second year. So there's a little bit of uncertainty there with the Yankee rotation, but I love their bullpen depth. They've got a number of guys that can close back there, even beyond Aroldis Chapman in the ninth. They've got Canely who can close, Robertson, Betances, one of the deepest bullpens anywhere in baseball. So I like the Yankees to win the World Series, Jim, but I'm a little bit worried about their rotation more so than the lineup.
John Morosi joining us. You like the Yankees to win the World Series. Now, John, speaking of hype, Shohei Ohtani is going to make his Major League pitching debut on Sunday against Oakland. kind of, listen, what are reasonable expectations for him as a major league rookie this year?
Jim, it's a great question, and I would have told you earlier on in the beginning of spring training that I would have expected him to be at least adequate in both hitting and pitching, that he could do it. But I'm nervous. I'm nervous more about the hitting than the pitching. At the plate, he's got only 4 hits in Cactus League play, all singles. If you compare what his split screen looked like in Japan to what he's doing in spring training, it's just not the same attack mentality. His stance just seems a little tentative to me, Jim. So that's a concern. I wonder if he's going to really be able to put the mechanics into play and also just knowing the pitchers. It takes so much time to build that mental Rolodex. All the video we've got in the game now, you still need that in the batter's box experience, I think, in many cases, and Ohtani lacks that. I do think that from a pitching standpoint, the stuff is all there. Scouts have told me the pitches are coming out of his hand just fine, but the location has been a little bit off. I think he needs some time to work the location in. The question then comes, though, Jim, are the Angels prepared to sit him down after that long courtship and say, Shohei, listen, we need you more on the mound than offensively. Let's just put the hitting to the side for now and focus just on pitching. He's done it in the past where he's had different focuses for different times of his life where he's really delved into the hitting versus the pitching. But, Jim, that's a hard thing to ask somebody to do after such a public courtship and everything that went on in spring training and over the wintertime. It's a very high-profile move. A lot of eyes right now on Billy Epler and the manager, Mike Socha.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how they handle that thing. And as you might imagine, Mike Socha is not saying very much about that. He's handling things the way he normally does. But, John, I agree with you. He has not looked good with a bat in his hands this spring. Listen, one last guy I want to ask you about before you go. The Philadelphia Phillies recently signed Scott Kingery to a 6-year, $24 million deal before even playing a major league game. He's a guy who's been compared to Dustin Pedroia. What do you make of that comparison? What do you make of his game and skill set?
First, Jim, the comparison is spot on. I had a chance to watch Kingery play and talk to him just about 10 days ago. Impressive young man. I love his competitiveness. He told me that his parents grew up as Arizona State graduates and big Sun Devil fans, and he wanted to go play at ASU, but they didn't recruit him. So he goes down to U of A, and he told me, I wanted to make ASU regret it every time I played them. So I love that competitive nature about Scott Kingery. And I also think, Jim, this overall move towards trying to lock up your notable young players before they even get to the big leagues, this allows them to be in the big leagues on opening day, and it gives them some financial security. It's tough because we see in many cases teams will hold players back until they hit that free agent mark later in April to make sure they buy that extra year of service, as we saw with Chris Bryant in the past and Ronald Acuna right now with the Braves. But this gets a top-end talent to the big leagues sooner, and for a young man, $24 million before he's played a game in the big leagues, God bless him, a great amount of security for his family. So I think for each individual player, Jim, they've got to make that choice for themselves.
Shoot, John, can I hit you with one more thing on the way out the
door?
Been a really unusual offseason in terms of free agent signings. Big names signing late. Some are even still available. So what do you make of the way that's played out? And then do you expect guys like Greg Holland or Jose Bautista to land someplace soon?
Well, it's a great job, Jim, of tying everything together because I think that the uncertainty about the way the free agent market works and the later deals and maybe the deals not coming in where players expected maybe helps precipitate deals like we saw with Kingery, where free agency used to be the thing that players were striving for their whole career. They were desperate to get there, but it hasn't worked out for a number of players now, and so I think that does incentivize more and more players to, hey, sign that deal. If you're comfortable where you're at, sign your extension, and you don't have to worry about whatever interesting intricacies are occurring in a particular market in a given year. So I think it's a good play by Kingery in that regard. But I think Holland, I love the Cardinals for him or the Angels. Bautista, maybe the Rays, although it seems as though that has gone lukewarm here of late. I think we're seeing, Jim, in general, it's such a young man's game right now. You got great guys like Matt Holliday seem to be moving their way out of the game right now. It is a young man's game, so promote them early, pay them early in the case of Kingery, and enjoy and appreciate all this great young talent we've got in the game right now.
This is the kind of analysis you can get from him on MLB Network and NHL Network and Fox Sports. He is a true Renaissance man, John Morosi. John, great to have you on. Enjoy opening day, and always good to have you here in the jungle.
Jim, it is always a pleasure. You are phenomenal at what you do, and it's an honor to be on your show. Thanks
you
so
too,
much.
You too, John. Great to have you on. You are awesome. John Morosi, he is one of the sharpest guys in the business. MLB Network, NHL Network, Fox Sports. I'm telling you, probably you should raise your kids. Like I always say, I'm not going to tell you how to raise your kids because I don't want you to tell me how to raise my kids, except maybe you should raise your kids the way his parents raised him. An hour a day of TV, half hour of CBS Sports Network, and a half hour of PBS. And you might end up at Harvard, like John Morosi. Good parenting, really smart young kid. That's where you end up, working for three different networks. This email says, Jim, when listening to some of the recently screened calls by the Sparrow, as well as seeing him throw on the rat mask again today, a thought came to mind. What a champion of the clones this guy's become. Then I started thinking a little bit harder, and I came up with another thought. Is he actually trying to get his ass fired or what? Warhawk mixing in a few decent shirts into the rotation. War Loyola shocking the nation two more times. Jed in Illinois. No, I don't think that he's trying to get fired. I think he likes the job. That's the problem, right? He's not trying to get fired. Okay, clones. I did my best. I kind of held you off for about an hour plus. But now we still have got 40 minutes plus. What do you want to do with it? I want to finish my thoughts on the NFL rule changes. I mean, a targeting rule? Is it going to get guys ejected or not? And if it's going to get guys ejected, is it going to be on both sides of the football? And judging from the reaction of guys who are already in the league and guys who used to be in the league, everybody hates this. And I can understand why. I want to get into it. And since opening day is right around the corner, there was a great, great moment in spring training last night in Montreal. Vlad Guerrero Jr. jumped ship, walked off. His old man was in the house, a house that he helped build. One of the great, great moments in spring training. I want to hit that too. Yankees putting a face on beer. It sounds like a good thing, but it's not. The Yankees tried to put a face on beer. We're having a good time on this Wednesday. I'll probably get that in there. In the meantime, I will open it up to you. All right, so come on now. Somebody make a phone call. It's going to make this show better. You've got the number.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Once again, I love it when the guys in New York bump in tweets that I did not want to put on the air. Clones, you can get on. Even if you can't get through us, New York might put you on. And when I talk about New York, that's generic for CBS Sports Network. The guys who are directing, producing, editing, working the TV aspect of the simulcast, they kind of take matters into their own hands. They find tweets they like and they put them up. They find pictures of you clones that they like, they put them up. Breaking news in the jungle, which I'll have in a minute. A former Smack-Off champ is tweeting during the show. This segment brought to you by Werner, the official ladder of NCAA March Madness. And March means it's ladder madness. Go to getwerner.com. Find the best Werner products for you. That's getwerner.com. All right, so maybe you didn't take my word for it when I said it's Smack-Off season. Maybe you didn't take my word for it, but here's further evidence that it is. Chael Sonnen, a Smack-Off winner. Chael is tweeting live in show. This is what Chael said about John Morosi. Chael tweets, and I quote, "Run this mid-quarter. He can get the rest of his segment when I bury him in the Smack-Off." All right, that's Chael. Chael tweeted that just now during the show. "Run this mid-quarter." Carter, C-A-R-D-E-R, like he's mid-card. He's a scrub. He's way down. He's nowhere near the main event. He's a mid-Carter. He can get the rest of his segment when I bury him in the Smack-Off. All right, now, Chael, are you confusing John Morosi with Jeff Passan? Morosi's probably like, yo, man, why is that guy coming for me? I'm minding my own business. What did I do? What did I do to Chael Sonnen? What's going on? Either Chael is confusing Morosi for Passan, or Chael just doesn't want to hear Morosi on the radio, or Chael is grouping all these really smart columnists and reporters into the same group and doesn't care. Either way, Chael is thinking Smack-Off. Chael knows it's Smack-Off season. Chael's already going in that direction, which I love. It is clearly Smack-Off season. So if you're new to the program, very quickly, the Smack-Off is for the best of the best. It's once a year. The very best callers, not on the show right now, but in the history of the program, in the several decade history of this show, come in and they compete on one day for $5,000 cash, but more importantly, for the title of King of Smack. Chael has won the event. Chael knows what it takes to win. Chael's getting ready. He's already in that right mindset. If you missed it, when Chael won, he got loose. He's a wild card now. He's dangerous. My man is dangerous. Dangerous in the octagon, dangerous outside of the octagon. You never know what you're going to get. I love that. Smack-Off season is here. When we've got a former champ live tweeting the show, running game on somebody that he may or may not know, I don't even care. I don't know if he thought that was passing. I can see where he'd make the mistake. Like Passan and Morosi are two of the smartest guys in the industry. I mean, these are both, frankly, they're brilliant guys. They're both brilliant guys. Chael's not having any of it. Chael, in 2014, came on in a tandem call with Mike in Indy.
At Jim Rome, the show has a winner, but it's not one, it's two. Hashtag, you still don't know? Let me give you a clue. We fooled you all. The swerve is in. I'm in on it with Mike from Indy. Mark in Hollywood want to know. His only friend is Siri. So please, the Smack Team champions of the world and anyone else champion, you're just doing charity. You woke up feeling a win? Check your austerity. We laid the competition to rest. We put you all in your tomb. Final word. And I'll see you next June. Chael Sonnen signing out. Kaboom.
Thanks, Alvy. Chael did win that year. Anyway, Chael's all about it. Chael is like one of those guys, he's always the first one to spring training. When Smack-Off season starts, he's the guy who gets there 3 days early. He's in the facility, getting his work in, thinking about it. There's only one other guy that I know in the field that appreciates or approaches it like that. Leff in Laguna is constantly working his game. You don't know about it. Hell, even I don't know about it. But some of it kind of works its way back to me. And I know Leff is trying to stay way, way off the grid, trying to work what he can up. I mean, if you're Leff, what do? You've already chopped through the studio. You've already bum-rushed the studio and resurrected the great photo shoot from SI and Story 20 years ago. Got Ben Golliver involved. What do you do if you're Leff? But Chael's thinking about it, right? He's talking junk about guys who may or may not be in it. And then there's the rest of you who are all bent that I ripped your show from you. Daniel in Las Vegas tweets, stupid interviews. Give me back my rat.
Give me back my...
Give me back my rat.
Give me back my...
Luis in Palmdale tweets, way to go, Rome. You just had to go ruin the best show of the year with interviews. Frank in Boise, also known as at Mock Moda. Rome, your interview kryptonite.
It's like kryptonite.
Your interview kryptonite.
It's like kryptonite.
Will wear off. We have inside help. Hawk is one of us. Sign the clones. At Great Blue Dini 4 tweets, bring me W.S. Tobias. W.S. Tobias.
Hey, Jim. How's it going?
So far, so good.
Actually, I go by Winter Storm Toby. I got a celebrity story for you. So I'm chilling on this park bench this morning. There's a snowman standing next to me. I look over. He drops his woolen scarf, and there they were, a foot from my face. Snowballs. Frosty the Snowman.
A snowman dropped his scarf. W.S. Tobias. If you know anything about the show, that's not that hard to decode. Anyway, when we return, one last segment, meaning you can't get in here if you can elevate the program and not bring us down. Otherwise, I've got this. It's one last segment. Chael, good to see you, brother. Good to see you, and good to see you, brother. Thinking about the Smack-Off. Good to see you tweeting and talking junk, Chael. Good to see you doing Chael Sonnen things. I love it. ATP's coming up. How about somebody pick me up? At this point, I'm desperate. Lady clones, go ahead and do what you do. Somebody rip the ATP. You know where to send your questions. That's coming up next. ATP, Ask the Pros. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. A car. Get guaranteed low prices. And excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts for your car.
A car.
Better parts, better prices every day. All right, this guy came at it from a different point of view. I like it. Tony in Iowa City writes, Dear Jim, what would a smack-off winner have to do to have his title vacated the way Louisville's NCAA title from 2013 was vacated? All right, so what would, say, Leff, or anybody you want, Leff, Chael, Vic, Silk Bra, JT the Brick, the original winner, what would any of these guys have to do to vacate their title? They'd have to cheat. How can you cheat in the smack-off? Is there any way to cheat? The only way to cheat would be to bribe the judges or to have the fix in. In other words, if I was somehow involved in cheating, which I would never do, but that'd be like me saying, hey, Leff, I need you to participate here because you've got more game than anybody else. Now I'm good, Van Smack. I'm not doing it. Come on, Leff. Come on, the show really needs it. I need you in the smack-off. Yeah, I'm not going to do that, Rome. Look, come on, Leff. I'll give you this if you do. All right, now I'm all ears. What do you got? Strippers, escorts, you know, that type of thing. You know, if you participate in the smack-off, Leff, you know, we'll provide escorts while you prep for the call. And strippers, like Louisville, allegedly. To answer your question, Tony, no, you cannot. Nobody's ever going to vacate their title. They're not going to vacate the smack-off title because you can't cheat in the smack-off. You do your call. It goes to the judges. The judges are not on the take. There's nothing corrupt here. We don't play any favorites. So, no, it will not be vacated. Tommy in North Carolina. Jim O's, has anybody ever run up on you and tried to win a golden ticket in person? Never, and I hope they don't. If it doesn't happen in the jungle, it does not make a sound. I can't rip a golden ticket nor give a golden ticket unless it's on the air. Brent in Rockland. Jim O's, have you ever considered team building activities for the XR4TI? What, you mean like where I bring in a former Navy SEAL, or we go down to Coronado and we go sit in the water and we carry those giant logs around? No, I haven't thought about that. Alvy and I did do a trust fall once back in the day, and he trusted me and he fell on his head, and we never did that anymore. Shut up, Hawk. We've never done paint gun as a team. We've never done a trust fall. Hey, listen, I'm all ears. Lockout at the gym. I'm all ears. If you've got any ideas for XR4TI team building, trust me, this team needs some building. I'm all ears. Never did a ropes course, egg tosses, nothing like that. Never, when I got this thing started, I didn't say, all right, everybody sit down and tell us what your name is and talk about yourselves. Never did any of that. There you go. Rome, in a week, we've seen Winter Storm Toby, bums rambling their way to the Final Four, Coach K showing up at Disney World despite not winning a championship, and Crooked Teeth Smack. Oh, yeah, and added a Delephant drop twice in 1 week. The universe is kind. Let's all rejoice in this incredible March that we have been gifted. Let's forget that March and April are the best sports months. As that one incoherent chick said once, We're your clones.
I'm your clone.
Man.
Guy,
my bad. That's Lauren. Lauren also said, you're my idol, and I'm your clone, man.
You're my idol, man.
I haven't got that down just yet. I'm close. You're my idol, man.
You're my idol, man.
And I'm your clone. And I'm headed to the yacht club for mojitos, fish tacos, and to get frisky. Okay, not there yet. Let's see. Parody Larry, not going there. No, I think I'll talk about opening day instead. Sorry about that, Lawrence. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe next week. Maybe next month. Maybe 2019. Opening day is not till tomorrow, but Major League Baseball has already brought the hammer down on the Yankees twice this offseason. The first heat check was to tell Aaron Judge to shut his gap about talking to Manny Machado about how good he would look in the pinstripes. The second 2x4 came down from the league offices yesterday after the Yankees rolled open the gates at their yard and they hosted their annual tasting event. This is where the Yankees invite a bunch of media people out to sample the latest food and drink and hopefully get some rub and run and some pub on their new exclusive grub. This is not unusual. It's a trend in baseball. We've seen this. Teams do it all the time, in fact. The Marlins rolled out their taco dog last year. Remember? The D-backs debuted the chicken funnel cake sandwich. The Mariners went all Mariner with it and ruined it for every other team in Major League Baseball by toasting grasshoppers and slapping a price tag on them. Because in Seattle, why eat food when you can eat dead bugs? Even my man Hud isn't doing that, unless you pay him. But he's not paying for it.
Eat it, Hud.
Anyway, the Yankees, they're getting in on all this. Because why should Stanton and Judge smash the cover off of baseballs be enough when they can have a machine that can, now wait for this, a machine that can print the faces of their players on the foam of the beer. I did not misspeak. The Yankees have a machine that can print the creepiest headshots of their players directly onto the head of your adult beverage. Because that's what you want, right? That's what you want on your first sip of a $15 brew. Some dude looking right back in the eyes as you guzzle his likeness. That's not cool. That's not innovative. That's not fresh. That's weird. That's disturbing. Like when somebody rolls your mug on a birthday cake and serves up your face to a bunch of hungry coworkers. I mean, do we really need to be eating and drinking each other? Can't food be food and beer be beer? And I don't know, maybe just leave the photography out of it altogether. Lucky for everybody invited, Major League Baseball has a rule that prohibits players from being associated with alcohol sales. So Major League Baseball told the Yankees, quote, it is not authorized and to cease doing it, end quote. Good. Good. One thing for a barista to draw a leaf into a latte. Entirely another for a bartender to print the face of a cleanup hitter on the head of a brewski. Did we not learn anything at all from the Jaguars staining their beer teal blue during the playoffs? Leave beer alone. Just let me fork over the Andy Jackson and get a good, cold, normal pour. Man, there used to be a time when a hot dog and a domestic was standard fare at the yard. And it was going pretty good for the last 100 years or so. So why are you going to change that? Man, just give me the dog. Give me the dog, give me the bud, and that's it. Now, if only the league would step in and do something about the Mariners tossing crickets on the grill. Because while the Yankees putting faces on beard is weird, the Mariners toasting up insects is disgusting. And if you're paying for that, yeah, and save it. Save it, Mariner fan. Save the Rome, you just don't get it. I'll save you the trouble. You're right, I don't. That's my whole point. I don't get it. I don't need a grasshopper sando or a BL grasshopper Or grasshopper shake, especially. Nobody needs any of that. It's like the most Mariner thing ever. The most Mariner thing ever. Anyway, nice try, Yankees. Way to go. Hey, they're going to buy beer anyway. They don't need you to do that. They will buy the beer anyway. It's beer. They're at a ballpark. The team is going to be awesome. Don't sweat it. Rome, here's a great team building activity straight from my seventh grade retreat. Everyone join hands, get in a circle, and sing Lean On Me. As Logs would say, it was cringy. Nick in the Land of the Norsemen. Logan does say that. My son Logan is now 13. Jimmo's cringy. It was cringy. Hey, Logs, you know what was cringy? Your mother and I looking at your phone and your text for the first time. That was cringy, son. Kids are the best. Kids are awesome. Hawk and I have been having an ongoing conversation. Speaking of kids, so that's Logan Rome, 13. Jake Rome jumped ship and went oppo in his high school baseball game yesterday. And Hawk's trying to get me to play it, and I'm trying not to play it. Generally, Hawk, your instincts are horrific. Can I do it? Can I do it? I mean, I've let Parody Larry on this show before, right? I've let all you clones wreck this show before. You know me. I mean, I'll talk up Janet and Jake and Logan, but we usually don't go with picks. I mean, do you even know what my kids look like? Usually not. Now, what the hell? Jake Rome coming up, University High School, Irvine going up against their rivals, Woodbridge. It looked like that. The kid ran into one. There you go. He's playing on CBS Sports Network right now. Junior, you may not do that again, man. Take your time. I should have schooled him up. In the event that you ever run into one, you go flop down. Do a little pirouette coming out of the box. Run backwards up the first baseline. Maybe do a little Sosa skip. Barry Bonds bunny hop pirouette. Come on, son. That's a life moment right now. That may not happen ever again. You got to enjoy that. In fact, what he should have done was gone Dante Bichette. Electric shock with the bat. That'd have been awesome. Hey, Dad, why'd I get one in the ear? Because you went Dante Bichette, electric shock in the bat. It was worth it. It was worth it. Don't at me, at Hawk. Hawk's like, I'll wear that. The kid probably will now, too. All right, time now for the huge call. Got to get the kid some shine. I was a proud pop yesterday. Brought to you by Warner, the official ladder of NCAA March Madness. And March means it's ladder madness. Go to getwarner.com to find the best Warner products for you. That's getwarner.com. My thanks to Bucky Brooks, Bill Clark, John Morosi, the XR4TI. Hope your clones had your fun with your little impromptu Romageddon. That will never happen again. Thank you for listening. See you tomorrow. We're out.